starry sky. Holy babe, so low, who'd have thought the truth of God would be wrapped in swaddling clothes?
The manger bed where cattle fed and donkeys silent lay, a nursery to the King of Kings on this first Christmas day.
This is what the story's all about. God came to our darkness to force the darkness out. Though it may seem unbelievable, God can wash away all doubt. Word of God, virgin born, hanging on a tree, giver of all life and breath, now death is penalty. But even in the darkest night, the sun would rise again. From the grave he tore death's sting and buried all man's sin. And this is what the story's all about. God came to our darkness to force the darkness out. Though it may seem unbelievable, God can wash away all doubt. And this is what the story's all about. It's a story of unfailing love that makes the blind to see how God in His perfection sets the sinner free. There is no other substitute, and this remedy is sure. Christ rose again and conquered sin, and death became life's door. This is what the story's all about. God came to our darkness to force the darkness out. Though it may seem unbelievable, God can wash away all doubt. And this is what the story, the simple gospel story, this is what the Christmas story is all about.
Amen.
Have the right.
because every grandparent in the room is saying, I want to hear that again. Y'all got enough light for pictures? Can you see all right? Do we need to add a light to get a better picture? You getting all right? Okay. Happy birthday, Jesus, one more time. You got it in you one more time? There we go. That
Amen.
Helps. All right. Get pictures. Get videos. That's what you're waiting to do. Let's do it. All right. Bring it up. Happy birthday. Thanks.
Thank you.
mountain till the break of dawn. And into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Enjoyable. I missed the choir not singing, but I'll tell you what, the selections we heard were well done, and I appreciate the practice and the effort that went into it. Thank you, each one of you that had a part in that. I especially enjoyed Isabel slapping that box together over here. I thought as a parent that would come in handy around the house every now and again, but seriously, well done tonight. We're not professionals. Just folks that love the Lord want to use what talent God has given them to honor Christ, which is all, what is it, it's all about. A night of music. Now, something like this is so common at this time of the year. Cantatas and plays and instrumental and vocal performances, you know, they're everywhere. They abound in many different settings, maybe not as many this year as in years past because of all the different things that are happening, but churches and colleges and special community performances, they all seem to celebrate the season with music. Music. Now, why is that? Well, most would say it's because the angels sang the night Christ was born. And that sounds nice, but the Bible never gives any indication the angels sang in announcing Jesus' birth. Now, automatically somebody says, now wait a minute, I know the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men, to the shepherds. I know they did. Well, the angels did appear, and they did praise God, and as they praised God, the Bible says they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It does not say that they sang. Now, don't get me wrong. I would never argue or debate with anybody or not split hairs with anybody over the fact that the angels said rather than sang. But here is my question. Why do we assume the angels sang? Or a better question, why do we place so much of an emphasis on music at the Christmas season? And I believe it's because music captures the emotions of the soul so much clearer, so much better than just conversing. And there was a lot of emotion in the announcement made by the angels to the shepherds. Now I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, this is the emotion, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then in verse 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. When you read those verses, you read a lot, a great deal of emotion in delivering those announcements. And you know what? Music captures emotion. It captures emotion. Whether it is joy or sorrow, whether it's happiness or grief, whether it's excitement or whether it's calm, music captures the expression of emotion so clearly. And the emotion expressed with this announcement was that of joy. The angels defined the announcement as good tidings, not just of joy, but great joy. Abounding joy. And it's easy to see why we just assume that singing was involved. There was great, there was good tidings of great joy. And you know, down through time, poems have been put to music and songs have been written and cantatas have been produced. All of them celebrating the good tidings of great joy that Christ is born. And all of that emotion captured in music, which is a great way to express emotion. Now, the essence of these good tidings of great joy is found in a couple of things. First of all, it's found in the fact that those tidings were to all people. I like what it says at the end of verse number 10, which shall be to all people. Folks, how many announcements, how many broadcasts in this world apply to all people? Not many. But this one did. This announcement was not only for a select few. This announcement was for everyone, for all time. It's still good tidings of great joy today to all people. Now, when several years ago, back in the early 90s, a well-known Baptist preacher passed away, and I made arrangements along with Brother Gomez to go and attend the funeral service, and we were going to fly out of O'Hare down to Nashville, Tennessee. And so he got to the airport before I didn't know it. It was before the days of security and all that we have now. So I was getting through the line there, whatever we did back then. And all of a sudden, over the PA system in O'Hare Airport, Terry Angel, please meet your party at the gate, at gate whatever it was. And that got my attention. Have they ever called your name out over a PA system like a place like O'Hare Airport? And that got my attention. Brother Gomez had beaten me, gotten to the airport before I had, and he was already sitting at the gate. That announcement was for me. It was meant for one person in that entire airport. The angel's announcement was not for a group. It was not for a specific ethnicity. It was not for a specific class of people. The angel's announcement was for all people of all time. That's why there was so much emotion with it. This is good tidings of great joy because it reaches out and touches every individual in history. Now you think about that. Think about that. An announcement that touched every person in human history. Not only was there a lot of emotion pent up in the fact that it was to all people, but there was a lot of emotion in the fact that those tidings were about a Savior. I love verse 11. The angel said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." It's specific. It's exact. You know, the angel's announcement, it was not that a preacher was coming. The angel's announcement was not that a carpenter was coming. Not even a miracle worker is. No, a Savior had been born. And boy, I'll tell you what. If there's emotion in an announcement, there's emotion in that one. Because mankind needed a Savior. You know, you put the entire announcement together and we realize why the angel called them good tidings of great joy. We realize why we assume the angels sang these announcements with enthusiasm accompanied by music. We can see why. Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of all people. All people needed a Savior then. All people need a Savior now. And there's only been one who's ever come into this world. And the angels identified him specifically as Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord. All people need a Savior because all people have a common problem. That common problem is sin. That is universal. Worldwide. Matters not ethnicity, geographical location. Matters not. Every person born into this world has a problem with the nature of sin. And that is a problem, people, because we will all stand before God to give an account for our sin. We'll stand individually before Him. Not as a group. Not as a group of Caucasians or a group of Hispanics or a group of blacks, but individually, not as a family. We'll stand before Him individually to give an account of our sin. That's a real problem. The other problem is we can do nothing about our sin nature ourselves. We can't eradicate that sin nature. We can't overcome it by good works. You and I could not do enough good works in an 80-year lifetime to overcome the problem of our sin nature. Couldn't do it. That's why we need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why we sing at Christmas time. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. A Savior is born in Bethlehem. And the Savior, again, is clearly identified as Jesus Christ. Jesus and Jesus only is the Savior needed by all people everywhere. And I just say tonight, we associate music with Christmas, and music is so involved at Christmas time because there is so much joy, great joy, associated with the announcements that were made by the angels, yes, to the shepherds, but ultimately to the entire world. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I'm so thankful that He came the first time. And one last thought tonight is that not only did He come once, but He is coming back to this earth again. You might ask, you know, you might say, well, we celebrate His first coming this time of the year with a lot of music. I would imagine that in every home represented in this church family, even visitors and guests, there's been Christmas music playing in the vehicle or the house this season. It just goes with the season. We celebrate it. So question, is there joy associated with His second coming? Was that emotion of joy captured anywhere by music that was written specifically about His second coming? You know the answers to those questions? Yes and yes. George Frederick Handel took the lyrics that Charles Jennings had been compiling about the birth, the death, and the resurrection and return of Christ. And he put them to music. And in 24 days, he had composed the Messiah. That beautiful, beautiful compilation of songs. All of them taken from Scripture. Unbelievable. You probably have heard at least a portion of it. The Messiah contains that most well-known piece called the Hallelujah Chorus. And if you've ever listened to it, it's music that captures the emotion of a child of God's heart. And He shall reign forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. King of kings. And if you ever heard it, as I mentioned Thursday night at the recital here, the school orchestra played the Hallelujah Chorus. And I didn't know it was coming. It so caught me off guard. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And about a third of the way through it, I said to my wife, I think we should be standing. Because that's what the King of England did. Queen of England did when it was played the first time. King of kings. Lord of lords. As much as emotion as there is in the fact that Jesus came the first time, as much emotion as there is in the fact that unto us a Savior was born, Christ Jesus the Lord, there is just as much emotion for the child of God in those words, He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's not a figment of anybody's imagination. That's as real as this little piece of metal I'm knocking on right now. He's coming back to this earth. And He will reign on His throne forever and ever and ever. Jesus came the first time as Savior. And the emotion of that event was captured down through the years by music. Jesus will come the second time as Sovereign. And the emotion of that event has been captured by music down through these years. There are more songs than just the Hallelujah Chorus that speak of the Lord's second coming. Some of them are in our hymn book. We sing them from time to time. And what a joyous thing it is to even sing the song, Jesus is Coming Again. Now, only those who have accepted Him as Savior will enjoy Him as Sovereign. He came the first time as a Savior. He's coming the second time as Sovereign. It will not be a pleasant experience for people who have not received Him as Savior. It will only be a pleasant experience to have Him as Sovereign for those who have received Him as Savior. And that would be the most important question that everybody should be able to answer at this season of the year. Not do you have a Christmas tree at your house. Not is there a present under that tree with your name on it, although that's pretty important. Those aren't the most important things. The most important thing is have you received Jesus Christ, the Lord, as your Savior? If you have, you will enjoy Jesus Christ as Sovereign, King of kings, Lord of lords. But if you've never personally put your faith in Christ and received Him as your Savior, if you've counted on good works, if you've counted on your baptism, if you've counted on your church membership, if you've counted on any other thing, or any other person other than Jesus Christ the Lord, you will not enjoy the sovereign reign of Christ on earth. So that's my question tonight. Have you received the greatest gift ever given? The unspeakable gift, as Paul called it. The gift of eternal life through the person of Jesus Christ. Can you go back to a time? Can you go back to a place where you by faith you embraced the Savior and received Him. And what He did on Calvary as payment for your sin debt. And if you have, when He comes the second time to be King, you will enjoy His sovereign reign. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads just for a moment and close our eyes. Thank you for listening. I've appreciated the music and the spirit of the evening, the children, the young people, everybody did so well. I can't see real well right now. We're not going to turn the lights on. But that's okay, right where you sit, between you and God, would you please answer this question in your heart tonight? Have I received Jesus the Savior as my personal Savior from my sin? Have you? Not have you been good, not have you attended church, have you trusted Christ? I don't do this very often, but if you've not received Christ as your Savior, there's a simple way that you can do it. And that is right there in the quietness of your seat. You can word a prayer to Jesus, asking Him to come into your heart and be your Savior. There's only two or three things you need to tell Him. You need to tell Him that you're a sinner, that you recognize it, you agree with Him, and confess, Lord, I am a sinner. And you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died, was buried, and rose again for your sin. Tell Him you believe that. And then just tell Him, I receive you now as my only hope of salvation. The kids just saying, grace has a face. And that face is the face of Jesus Christ. Would you put your trust in Him right now to save you from your sin? Would you in your seat receive the greatest gift ever made available to mankind? Jesus the Savior. Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him you believe that He's the Son of God and that you're trusting in His death, His burial, and His resurrection to save you, and ask Him to come into your heart and forgive your sin. Right there in the quietness of your seat. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity that You've given us through what happened at this time of the year. The fact that You sent Your Son to this sin-sick world, and unto us was born a Savior. What grace. Thank You that grace has a face and hope has hands and freedom has feet in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for bringing conviction to our hearts and helping us to come to Christ by faith to be saved. And Father, if there's one person in this audience tonight who's never trusted Christ, I pray that in their heart tonight in their seat, in the quietness of the moment, that they reached out by faith to You and called upon Christ for salvation. Speak to the heart that needs it most, I pray. And Father, can I express tonight on behalf of all of us who are saved that we sure look forward to the day when Jesus will come again. God, help us to live to be ready for that moment so that we're not ashamed at His appearing. We love You. We thank You for the wonderful time of music we've had tonight. We ask You to bless the fellowship, the food, across the parking lot in just a moment as we gather together. And we just rejoice in Your great goodness to us. Our heads are bowed before I close the prayer. If you prayed that prayer in your heart tonight and you meant it, I can't see your hand, but I hope that you'll look me up or one of our assistants, Brother Allen, Brother Andrew, Brother Bragg. Maybe you're a Spanish person, Hispanic man or lady here tonight. You called on Christ to save you. I hope that you'll get to Pastor Barajas or one of the men and just tell him, tonight was the night that I accepted Christ as my Savior. Father, may it be done according to Your will. Thank You again for all Your good blessings. We love You In Jesus' name, we ask you to bless all this evening. Amen and amen.